Begin the current daf Masechta Zevachim daf Ayin Ches. Begin four lines up in the bottom of the Amud on Ayin Zayin Mabez, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. This is regarding the series of Mishnayos in this parak of Kol Zevachim Shenis Arva. We're talking about when there are karbanis that get mixed up in other elements. What is the halacha? So now our Mishnah says regarding dam. We talk about before the limbs regarding the different types of live animals. Now we talk about dam Shenis Arva B'mayim. If the blood of a carbon, which is the primary atonement of a carbon, which you take the blood after you slaughter, receive it, then you do the zrika. Now, if the blood got mixed up with water, so says the Mishnah as follows: Im yesh be'mar is dam, if it still has the color of blood, kosher, it's still going to be valid. Let's say this arv be'yayin, let's say it gets mixed into red wine, so then you can't go based on color because they both look red. So then says the Mishnah, royin oisek ilahu mayim, then you look at it as if it was water, because we're talking about ratio proportions. If it was water and the blood would be recognizable in that water, then the same halacha is going to be here regarding the wine. If it has that same proportion, then it's going to be kosher. Now, says the Mishnah, let's say nisarv bedam behema. Let's say the blood of the carbon gets mixed into the blood of an animal of chulin, of unconsecrated blood, or in the blood of a wild animal which is not brought as a carbon. So then you view the blood of that chulin animal, also the same halacha ki'ilu humayim, as if it was water. And if the redness of the blood, of the kosher blood, of the carbon would be recognizable in that if it was water, then it's going to be kosher. Now, the chiddush of these halachas in the Mishnah are that even though the majority of the blood is actually from the non-kosher blood, as the Gemara is going to explain, however, when we go based on the chazusa, as it's called, based on the visual, on the appearance, so then we go based on the halachas of bitl too. As long as it has the color of blood, it's still the halachically viewed as blood. Say, Rosa, when we talk about mixtures, if it still would have the appearance of the blood, even if the majority is the water, it doesn't make a difference. If you drop in a small amount of blood and you would still see that color, then it's going to be kosher. So too for these other things where you can't even tell the color, but if it has the same proportion, it's still going to be kosher. Now, it's a continuing top, however, on top of Ayin Ches and Aleph, says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says that ein dam mevatel dam, that blood cannot nullify blood. And the reason for that is based on the general halacha in taroivis, in mixtures, that Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'minoi loy batel. When you have something of the same species, of the same type, there's no nullification. And therefore, even a small drop in a huge vessel of other types of blood, even though, if let's say, and this is where he disagrees with the Tanakhama, even if the non-valid blood would have been water, the blood that was from the carbon would not have been recognizable, even so, it's going to be kosher for the zrika, and the reason for that is because the blood is still there. There's no halacha bitl when it's the same type of thing. So therefore, it's going to be kosher when blood mixes with blood, let's say, of an animal or of a wild animal. Now, continues the Mishnah, let's say this arv bedam pesulim. Let's say the blood of the carbon mixes in, for example, in the blood of a carbon that was slaughtered with the machshav of chutz lazmanei, with that blood is invalid. So then halacha is, yishafich la'ama, the whole mixture you have to pour out to the ama, which is the canal that takes all the invalid blood out of the base of Mikdash. And we don't say over here, as we said in the previous halachas, that royin ki'ilu humayim, we view it as if it was water, and therefore if the blood, kosher blood would have been would have the appearance of the blood, then you would throw it. You don't say that halach over here. And so too, let's say the blood of the carbon gets mixed up bedam hatamsis with the blood of, that's not the lifeblood of the animal, it's the blood that ebbs out at the end, which is squeezed out, which is not valid blood. So that, yishafich la'ama, that blood is going to have to be, again, is also invalid blood, is going to have to be spilled out to the canal. Whereas regarding this, Rabbi Eliezer Machshi says it's going to be valid, and the Gemara is going to explain the reason of the Tanakam and Rabbi Eliezer, and the Gemara, what's the reasoning for their, why is Dam Pesulim different than the other, which are also puzzled and not valid to be wine or whatever it is, or the blood of a chul enamel is also not valid. Why are these Dam Pesulim more severe that you're not going to view it as if it's water? And also, why does Rabbi Eliezer say that it's going to be kosher? Now concludes the Mishnah, Im Lo Yinimlach V'Nasan, regarding these cases that we just said that you have to spill it out, but if a Kohen did not consult with us, and he went and he sprayed the blood on the Mizbeach, then kosher, then it's going to be valid, even according to Tanakama, because the whole halacha of the Tanakama is only initially, it's only what's called a ketchila, and it's based on a rabbinic concern that maybe if we allow you to throw this blood, which is mixed with the Dam Pesulim or the Dam Atamsis, then a person might come to validate the Dam Pesul even by itself, and so to the Dam Atamsis. Now, biblically, Dam HaTamtzis does not work to provide atonement, as we said, because the pasuk says, Ki nefesh habasa bedamu, the lifeblood of the flesh is in the blood, and that's what I gave you for atonement, which is the blood of the soul, which it leaves when it dies, that's where you provide atonement. But if it's not where the lifeblood comes out from, which is what the Dhamma Tam says, that's not valid. So rabbinically, they were concerned that if we let you throw it out, someone might think, oh, okay, because this is really blood of a carbon, of an animal. Just one had machshava of pigul, one was the Dhamma Tam says, which is more of a concern. No one's going to think you could throw wine on this bath. So there you'll say you view it as water. But here, rabbinically, we say not. That's where the Mishnah concludes. But if he did, at the end of the day, biblically, that will have provided the atonement and fulfilled the obligation of throwing the blood on the Mizbech. Now, the Gemara qualifies in the halacha of our Mishnah. It says, Lo yishon, we didn't learn that if it has the appearance of blood, it's going to be kosher, even if the majority of that mixture is water. Ela shenaflu mayim l'teich dam, only if the way they got mixed together was that the water fell into the blood of the carbon. What happens then is when it's dripping in, every drop of water as it comes in becomes nullified in the majority of the blood. So as long as it still has the appearance of blood, so it's not going to nullify the blood. Now, because anyway, halachically, every drop of water becomes, so to speak, blood, because it, and the laws of bittul. Now, the thing is, but when there's so much water that now it doesn't even have the appearance of blood anymore, okay, then it's going to be nullified, as we're going to learn later regarding certain halachas we go based on the appearance. But up until then, that's what we say, that if as long as it has the appearance of blood, it's going to be kosher. Aval nafal dam l'teich mayim. Let's say it's the reverse. Let's say there's a bucket of water and the blood of the carbon is spilling into the water. Then there, rishon batel. Then there, every drop of blood that spills in is already automatically nullified. So even if, let's say, it spills in enough blood that now it has the appearance of blood, it's not going to work because, so to speak, the blood already became water and it cannot reawaken. It was already rejected from being halachically blood for the zrika. Now, Amr Papa says, but in your kisa inikain, regarding the halacha of kisa hadam, which is when one slaughters birds and the animal, certain types of animals, then he has to cover the blood of the animal. There, even if, let's say, the blood of the bird falls into the water, if it has the appearance of blood, because it keeps on dripping, and now, okay, now it's visible, the blood into the water, then there would be an obligation to cover that blood. And we don't say, like we just said regarding karbonis kudrim, that kama batale. No, every drop that fell in, there's not any more blood. So although now it does look like blood, it's already too late. We don't say that. There's no halacha of being rejected in the laws of mitzvahs. Meaning, even though technically the first drops that fell in were rejected from having the halacha being covered by earth, because it already became absorbed and nullified by the water, and there wasn't any appearance of blood to obligate it from kisoy, and therefore it was exempted. Even so, that's what Papa says, when enough drops fell into the water and it has an appearance of blood that's recognizable, then they combine together to now say, okay, so there's blood of a bird over here, now you have to go ahead and cover it. And the chiddush in that is that unlike, that, and in other words, the mechanics that what happens over here is, when the later drops drop in, they reawaken the initial drops that had fell into the water, what's called chayzim and air, reawakens it, to then say, oh, now they're combining, now there's going to be an obligation of kisadam. And we don't say what's called hoyl v'nitchi yitcha. No, the first drop is already rejected. It's rejected because that halacha, and that's what the Rebbe is coming to say, is only by davar shebikdusha, like the halacha of karbanas. Which, yeah, that was the halacha that Rabbi Yechanan, that Rabbi Chibar Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. But that's what the Rebbe is saying regarding mitzvahs, not karbanas, not kachim, that we don't say the halacha of dichli, and then they would combine together to be obligated in the mitzvah of kisadam. Now, relating back to the halacha of our Mishnah, Amr Shlakesh, he says as follows. He says, ha-pigul, regarding if someone has pigul, which is the meat of a carbon that was the blood that was thrown, one of the avoidis regarding to the blood with the machshava of having it being eaten, chutzas manoi, or nicer is when the actual meat of the carbon was left over its allotted time, or hatami is when the meat of the carbon became tummy, which all these types of meat are prohibited to consume. Shabalan zebazeh, which they all got mixed together, meaning each, there was a kezias, which is the minimum amount of violation in being liable for lashes, for all these types of things, that each one had an olive size, and he went and put them all into his mouth, v'achlan, and he ate them, says Rish Lakish, pater, that individual is going to be exempt from lashes, even if they warned them beforehand, which is a classical case. You're eating three isurim over here, technically should be liable even three lashes, says Rish Lakish, he's going to be exempt from any lashes. Why? It's not possible that one type is not going to be more than the other one and thus nullify it. Meaning, when this guy is chewing these three olive-sized pieces of prohibited meat in his mouth, each piece of meat is absorbing from the other type. And the one that's less will be nullified by the one that has more. Now, when that happens is, the one becomes nullified, actually joins the team, and becomes part, that's an halach of nullification, actually takes on the identity of the one that was mavatlet. Now, the thing is that you cannot be precise to know which one has more than the other one to know that that one is nullifying the other one. So we don't know exactly which one's more, which one's less, because they all have olive-sized pieces. When the people are warning him, we don't know what to warn him. And you have to warn beforehand, definitively, regarding the prohibition that the person is violating. So when they warn him, say, don't eat pigul, that's what's known in halacha as hasra safek. It's a doubtful warning, because maybe that's not the liability that he's getting right now, because there's also nicer and tameh over there. And they might combine and overpower the one of pigul. Although, ultimately, the truth is that for sure one of these three is storm he's violating, because whichever one has the majority nullified the other one, and then they combine and nullify the other one. But ultimately, at the time of the warning, we're in doubt. We don't know what he violated, what not. And therefore, in halacha, asra savik lo yishma asra, and therefore, you really didn't give him a warning, and therefore, he can't get lashes. Of course, he's violating an isser, for sure, in one of them, even if there's bitl. But he's not going to get lashes, because you don't know what to warn him regarding when he's eating it. Says the Gemara, from this halacha, v'shlokish shmamin otlas. There's three laws that we could extrapolate that are based on this halacha v'shlokish. Shmamin o isurin mevatlin lezeh. What we could infer is that even prohibited items can nullify other prohibited items, just like the halacha is that heter is mevatl issa. We have something non-kosher that falls into a mixture of 70 to 1. The halacha is, it's mevatlit. The chiddush that we're saying in Rish Lakish is that we don't say, but by Isser, Isser cannot be Mevatel Isser, which that goes into the Lumdus, into the Talmudic theory about how does Bittel work. You would think it's only by permitted versus prohibited. But if they're both prohibited, what way is nullification happening? That's the Gemara saying from Rish Lakish. Obviously, that does happen. And therefore, we're saying that he's not violating all three because one's Mevatel the other, even though they're both Isserim. Vishmamina, a second rule that we infer is, Naisin tam b'rayv lavdai raisa. In other words, this halacha that Rabbanan say throughout Shas, that something of prohibition that gives a taste, what's called naisin tam, in something of something that's permitted, so many times that it's qualified with the measurement of less than 60 of a ratio, that it's going to make that permitted food item prohibited, even though the majority is permitted, but it's not. But the prohibited item is still giving a flavor. Says the Gemara from Rish Lakish as halacha, we see that that's not a biblical halacha to get lashes for it. Because if it were biblical, although Rish Lakish is saying that one of these three types, pigul or the nice or the tummy, is a little bit more than the other one, and therefore saying, okay, so you don't know which one has a little bit more, and therefore you don't know which one he's violating because it's mevat the other one, but still, says the Gemara, it's still giving a taste. Taste is, even if you have 51 to 49, but taste has to be 60 to 1, like around that, to say it's not giving taste. And it's giving a full taste into the other one. Now, the Gemara's assumption right now is that we're talking about that even if the pigul and the nicer are two totally types of kachim, where the taste would be recognizable, not both pieces of meat, which, okay, meat is meat, roasted meat tastes the same. No, even if, let's say, one was meat and one was leftovers of a mincha, which the nicer was the mincha and the pigul was meat, even there that Rish Lakish is exempting, so obviously you see that even though it's giving taste, but that halacha of giving taste in the majority is not a biblical law, it's rabbinic. So, although one rabbinically would be violating the law, but you can't give him lashes, because again, if it was biblical, then even if the roiv is one, it's still giving a taste, and therefore you would still be able to give him lashes for the isser of the one that's smaller. And v'shmamina, the third halacha that we derive is hasra safek l'shma asra. Like we said, if it's a doubtful asra, although we know for sure one of them is violating, so look, we'll warn them in all three, no, it's not going to work. It has to be definitive of a warning, and if it's not, then it's not considered a valid hasra to get lashes. Now, Masav Rava. Rava asks on the second of the three halachas that we derive from Rish Lakish halacha from a Mishnah Masechet Chala. Mishnah says, Asa isa min chitin umin oiretz. If someone makes a dough from wheat together with rice, says the Mishnah, im yesh ba tam dogin chayeves b'chala. If it has at least a taste of wheat, has a wheaty taste, not just like rice bread, then it's going to be obligated in halacha of chala, which is separate a certain amount and give it to the kayin, if it at least has the taste. Now, on that, as the Gemara, va'avagav deruba oireis, it's saying as long as it just has a taste of wheat, which is insinuating, that even if the majority of the flour is rice flour, as long as it's giving taste, it's going to be chayv and challah. Now, challah is a biblical law, obviously, to say that if it's nice and tam, even though the majority is something else, it is considered halachically valid like that. So how can Rish Lakish, as we're saying from the second halacha, say that the giving taste is not a biblical law? Here you see it is, because it's going to make it obligated in challah. So the Gemara, no mind Rabbanan. That obligation that the Mishnah is saying of being chayv and challah is rabbinically liable in challah, because rabbinically we view it as if it's there. But you're right, biblically the fact that it gives taste doesn't make a difference. It's batel b'raiv, and you wouldn't be obligated. It's only rabbinically. And that is the Gemara, but ihachi emasefer. If that's the case, look at the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah then concludes and says, "And adam yetsa b'yidei chavasa v'pesach," that a person will fulfill his positive obligation of eating matzah on Pesach with this dough. Now, if you're going to tell me that if something gives a taste into something else that's the majority, and this is just a minority what gives a taste, that that's not biblical, how could he fulfill his obligation of eating matzah? The Gemara in Pesachim Nevlamahim and Av tells us that one does not fulfill matzah unless it's one of the five types of grains. Because the Pasuk says, Leisechel lov chametz, shivas yamim, do not eat leavened bread 7 days, toichel matzahs, you should rather eat matzahs. What that teaches us, that contrast, is that only something that can become chametz is something that you fulfill the obligation of matzah. That excludes things like rice and other things which that they don't get fermented, they rather get spoiled. So biblically, to be yotzi your obligation, it has to be that there was an element of wheat over there. And if you tell me that it's not biblically wheat because it's batel b'raiv and tam is only rabbinic law, how can you fulfill the biblical obligation of matzah? So, Ella, rather, as the Gemara continues to Bayes, the Gemara says you're right. what we thought to qualify the second extrapolation from Shlokos Halacha is not exact. Rather, the division is as follows, and it's not difficult. Min b'she'enoy minay, regarding when there's two different types of things, meaning, if you're mixing meat with flour, which would be if, let's say, you had a leftover of a mincha and you have a piece of meat from a carbon that was, let's say, piggle, the two different types of things, then the taste is recognizable. You could tell if you taste meat in the flour. When you're mixing meat and meat, like, okay, they're both meat, I can't necessarily tell. Two different types when their taste is recognizable. Then betaimer. Then the obligation would be based on taste. And yes, then there would be lashes biblically, and that's the source for the halacha of the Mishnah Masechta's challah. Yeah, you're liable for challah, midrash, you'd be fulfilling your obligation of matzah. If you have the majority is rice. Rice, matzah? Yeah, because if it tastes like wheat, if there are two different types of things and you could tell the taste, then we go based on taste. But min b'minei beruba. If they're the same type of thing, same type of food item, then we go based on the majority. So therefore, when Rish Lakish had said that when you have this pigle, nisa, and tummy mixed together, that you're going to be pater, he was talking about pigle and nisa of the same type. They were all, let's say, meat, where then you cannot ascertain something based on taste because they all taste like meat. And therefore, you cannot infer, not as we had thought, you cannot infer from Rish Lakish that if something gives a taste in the majority, that that's not biblical. Because no, maybe Rish Lakish would agree, and as we see in the Mishnah Maseches Challah, that it is biblical. The reason why you're not going to be liable, why not, it gives a taste, is because there's no taste when it's the same type of thing. Then you do go based on the laws of majority. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but why? V'nishar min b'minoy. Even if you're saying Rish Lakish is talking about when they're the same type, you should qualify when something is the same species based on taste, kimin b'she'enei minay, just like you do it when they're two different types of things. In other words, just like if we would be establishing based on taste, we would say as long as it gives taste, it's not going to be batel. So therefore, even when you cannot establish it based on taste, why are we so not respectful for the prohibited item? We're so lenient with it. To go ahead and say that, okay, then a simple majority would nullify it. Why? We should be more stringent. We should say that if it would have been mixed into something that's not the same type, then as long as if it would have been recognizable to taste, we would have said it's aser. So now, even now, we should also say it's not batel until you have so much of a majority that would be the same measurement you would need as if when it would be min b'she'enei minei. Why are we saying that? Because the tan. Seemingly, that's the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, nis'arv b'yayin. If the blood of the carbon gets mixed with red wine, so the Mishnah said, now you can't estimate it based on the color because you can't tell if the color, they're both red. So the Mishnah said, Royan oisa ki'ilu humayim. You look at it as if it would be water. What is the measurement of blood mixed in water that you would still have the appearance of water? Because then we'll still have it valid as the color of blood. Says the Gemara, my love, isn't it? What does the Mishnah say when it says Rayin Oisahi Kiluhumayim? What are we viewing as if it's water? Rayin Oisahi Liyayin Kiluhumayim. We view the wine as if it was water, and if the color of blood would be recognizable in it, it's going to be valid. So obviously you see that even though it's Min B'mina, it's the same type, they're both the same color, which is in regards to the halacha of bitl of color. Blood and wine is the same. In other words, in regards to that, although they're not the same thing, one's blood, one's wine, and if it was based on taste, you're right, we wouldn't say that it's min b'mina. But regarding the halacha we say over here regarding blood being valid as a carbon to throw it on the mizbeach, it goes based on appearance. So in that, they're the same type. They both have the same red appearance. And therefore, it should have been fit to say that it's batel b'raiv. But we don't say that it's batel b'raiv. What do we see from the Mishnah? That we evaluate the min b'mina as if it was min b'she'ena minay. So then, why doesn't Rosh Lakish say the same thing? Why are we saying and explaining his halacha? Oh, you're right, you can't prove that regarding the Mishnah Chala, because he's talking about min b'mina. Min b'mina, go based on raiv. Why? Go based on as long as it's giving something of a color or a taste, whatever it is, but you should say the min b'mina is like the min b'she'ena b'mina, like we do in our Mishnah. Says Gemara, no, you're reading the Mishnah wrong. Rayin oisli ladam kilumayim. Not that we view the wine as if it's water, we view the blood as if it's water, and therefore it's going to be invalid. Because we're nullifying the blood in the wine based on the simple law of majority. Because since we go based on appearance, and here we cannot ascertain it based on appearance, so then we're going to go based on the simple law of majority, and it's like when water gets mixed into wine, we go based on majority. And therefore that's exactly like we were saying, that we don't qualify min b'mina as min b'she'ena b'mina. When it's the same thing, okay, they're both red. Okay, what are you going to do? So then you're right. Then it's going to be bottle in the simple raiv in the wine. Not as the way we had initially read it. But on that, the Gemara asks, if that's interpretation, when you say, rain oisai, it, as if it's water, it's not going into wine, it rather is going into blood, and actually that's where the blood is going to be bottle but raiv, and not like as we thought that the blood's going to still be valid because we view the wine as water, and if the blood's giving a color in it, then it's still going to be valid. If that's not how it's talking about, then bottle me by lay. Then it should have said a very simple word that it's nullified because of the simple law of majority. Why does it say this whole wording of you view it as if it's water? Just say it's min b'mina and it's batel. Obviously, that it's going on the wine and it's referring to the rayin of the appearance that we view the wine as if it's water. That's question number one, which seems to be as we had initially said the interpretation is. Void, moreover, Tanya will learn the Braisa, which the Gemara is going to shortly bring that whole Braisa. Behudaim, he says, and the case that he's talking about is regarding a pitcher that is tummy. So we want to go ahead and immerse it in the mikveh to purify it. Well, now, in the pitcher, there's still some white wine or milk, which its appearance would not be recognizable in the water because it has the same color as water. And now he goes and he immerses that dli, that pitcher, into the mikveh. So says Rabbi Yehuda, Rayin Oisai, Ki'ilu Hu Yayin Adam. You view the white wine or the milk, whatever that's this white liquid that has the same color as water, you view it as if it would be red wine. And then you qualify as follows. Im Diya Mareyu Kasher. If it would then diminish the appearance of the red wine, thus like nullifying the red wine in the mikveh waters. So then it's going to be kasher, because you view as if the wine's not there, and then that means the mikveh water is getting inside the pitcher, then it's going to be valid. But vimlav, puzzle, but if it wouldn't have diminished the color of the wine, then it's like the wine's still there, and that's getting in the way of the mikveh water getting to the hole inside of the pitcher, and therefore that's not going to be a valid immersion. So what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that since if it would have been red wine, as long as its redness would be recognizable, it would not be nullified in the mikveh water, so therefore then the immersion of the pitcher would not be valid, unless if you would pour out so much of the wine until it would increase so much of the mikveh water coming in that it would totally remove the color of the wine from it, only then is it going to be valid. So that's Rabbi Yehuda saying, that even though now that it's actually white wine, we view it as if it were to be red wine. If it would have been so little of that, that the water that's coming into it is going to remove, had it been red, it would have removed the color, then it's going to be valid. In other words, it's going to be a valid tefillah, and if not, it's going to be invalid. So what do you see from that is that obviously we evaluate min b'minay when it's the same type, because we're talking about the color over here, the appearance. That's how we're qualifying it. And the milk or the white wine has the same color as the water, and still Rabbi Yehuda is evaluating it like as if it was min b'she'ini mini, as if they were different colors, as a stringency. That it's not enough to have just a simple majority. Rather, you would have to have it to be nullified. You would have to have that it wouldn't even give color anymore. So that seems to contradict the premise that we said before, that we were coming to explain and saying that no, in Rish Lakish halacha, and to understand the halacha of our Mishnah, that we're going based on the, we don't say min b'she'ini mini is min k'she'ini mini. But you see from Yehuda clearly that you do that. And therefore, we should interpret the Mishnah the way we were initially interpreting. And that takes us back to the question I would ask. So why are we answering for Rish Lakish? Because we had the contradiction of Mishnah Masechtas Challah. That when it's min b'minoi, then you go based on simple majority, and you don't say it's like a min b'she'ein minei, well then you go based on as long as it's still giving something, a color or a taste. But you see from Yehuda that you do that. You do make the min b'minoi as a min b'she'ein minei. Says the Gemara, that's not difficult. Tanoi, it's a machlekes tanoim. Whereas I'm going to shortly quote the Rabbanan and disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. And that's what we hold like in different, when we were answering for Rish Lakish in our resolution from him and the Mishnah Maseches Challah, we're going like the Rabbanan who don't say you make min b'minei as a min b'she'ein minei. So when it's the same type, when you can't go based on color or on taste, then you go based on the simple low majority. When it's min b'she'ein minei, then you go on, okay, do you taste it? Do you see it? But that's because we're going like the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Yehuda. But you're right, Rabbi Yehuda, who's like the Tana of our Mishnah, the way our initial interpretation was like, they would say that we say min b'minoi as if it's min b'she'ini minoi. The Tana learned the Braisa. Like we quoted before, Dli, a tamei pitcher, sheyesh b'yayin lovin oichalov, that hasn't it white wine or milk, which its color it would not be recognizable in the water because it looks the same. V'hitviloi, and then it was immersed in the mikveh without spilling out its contents first, so the milk or the wine is still in there. So holchen acharei, say the chacham, say the tanakama, that we go based on the simple law of majority. And that is, if the pitcher was not at least half full with the wine, since when you immerse it in the mikveh, the pitcher gets filled up inside from the mikveh water, and then there's a simple majority of the water of the mikveh on the wine, so then it's going to be tar, because the water of the mikveh nullifies the wine, and then the mikveh water is getting all the way in over there, because now even that white wine becomes part of the mikveh water, because it's nullified, in the pitcher itself, and therefore it's going to be valid. Rabbi Yehuda, as we quoted him before, he says, no, we look at the white wine as if it would be red wine, because ultimately that's wine and that's water. And as we said, as the Tanav HaMishnah says, that we look at it as if it was min b'she'ina minay. And imdi amarei yukash, if it totally wipes out the color, meaning if it would be red wine, you wouldn't see the color of red anymore, then it's valid, then we say it's batal. V'mlam possible, if not, it's going to be invalid again, as we explained, and therefore, we were going like the Chachamim, and Rabbi Huda and the Tanav HaMishnah goes with a different opinion, where they hold that even min b'minay, we were qualified as if it's min b'she'ina minay, to see, as a stringency, if we're going to be mevatal it or not. Now, however, the Gemara continues asking now a contradiction and how we just qualified Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Virmini, from a Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayos. The Mishnah says, similar type of a case, Deli, regarding a pitcher, which is Tamei, Shu Mali Reikin, that is full of spit, Vitviloi, and the person immersed in the mikveh wanted to purify it. Says the Mishnah, Kilu Loi Tavel, it's as if he didn't even immerse that pitcher. Why? Because spittle is thick. It's a sticky substance. And therefore, it's a chatzitza, it's interposition between the water and the inside of the vessel, and it doesn't become nullified into the water. And therefore, Rashi actually says that when the Mishnah describes that it was filled with spit, he says it's not precise necessarily, because since the spittle is thick, so it's interposition even if there's a small amount. He says, and actually it's according to Rashi's gear, so it's actually not the gear that we even bring down, is that since the Mishnah wanted to say the next case, if the pitcher is filled with urine, which there it's precisely that it's filled with urine. Because that's actually wants to tell us the Chiddush, that you don't even have to nullify the urine. Because since the mikveh water goes on the tip of the lid of the pitcher, and it does what's called hashaka, it then touches the urine that's in the inside, it connects the urine on the inside with the mikveh waters on the outside, and it connects it and it purifies it, because the truth is, in halacha, urine, it's actually, even the wording, what halacha, what Lashon HaKodesh calls urine, in Talmudic literature, is called mei raglayim, which is the water of the feet, is a type of water, and therefore, even if it's full with urine, it's still going to be okay. So that's why we said also moli reikin, but says Rashi, it doesn't have to be necessarily full with spittle. Even just a little bit, it's like you didn't even immerse, because that's a chatzitza. Now, continues the Mishnah, mei raglayim, regarding urine, that even though that the color is a little bit different than the color of water, urine would be yellow, depending on, And then the water, even though it's a little bit different, even so, since it's a type of water. So then, says the Tana, that you don't have to go on, you don't need a majority to nullify it. Rather, Royin Laisikilo Mayim, it actually has a leniency. You view it as if it's water, and then it's a kosher tefillah. In other words, you would think maybe you need to have a majority of water because it's different. No, Mei Raglayim is like water, and we'll view it as water. And okay, so it's great. Hashaka, it's the halacha is, even if you have non-kosher water, however that would be with kosher water, since they're water, they do hashaka, they connect, they're kissing the waters, and that makes it already part of the whole mikvah, and it's going to be valid. Continues the Mishnah, mole mechatas. Let's say the pitcher is filled with mechatas, which is the water of the that's used in the procedure for the person that became tummy from touching a dead animal, which has to be sprayed with this water, with the ashes of the paraduma on day 3 and day 7, there's a purification process. Now that water, since it actually is an avatuma, for the one who's not supposed to have the water, it actually contaminates as if it's one of the highest levels of tuma, and so it's a very distinct because of its sanctity that it has. So there, it's not going to have a nullification until you have majority, meaning here it's also water. Shouldn't it be not any worse than urine, which is like water? So that's the Mishnah saying, no, since it's very distinct, there it's not going to be nullified until you have a majority. Until the immersion is not going to be valid for the vessel, until you pour out from the, because it was filled up to the top, or to the mechatas, until you pour out more than half of the contents of the vessel, so that when it goes into the mikvah, the water of the mikvah is going to be at least inside the pitcher, a majority of the mechatas, and then it's going to be a valid tefillah. Now, says the Gemara, man shamet le de isle rain. Who is the Tana of this Mishnah? Meaning, the middle case, the case of Mei Raglayim. If it's filled with urine, we said, yeah, there no problem, it'll be filled with urine, it's still going to be valid. Why? Because the Tana said, oh, we see the urine as if it's water. What do you mean? That's yellow, that's white. Oh, because even though it's one thing, we could look at it, because halachically it's water, we could look at it as if it's water, and then it's a valid tefillah. Who does that? Who says this principle of what we call rayin? That's Rabbi Yehuda. As we just said before, he's the one who says that we view something that as if it's a different color even. He said, white wine? We look at it as if it's red wine. That's how he does things. So he has this halachic principle of rayin. Ukatani, and still the Tana of this Mishnah, who is saying is Rabbi Yehuda, says that when the color is of the thing that's becoming batel is the same as the thing that's being mevatlet, like the third case of the mechatas, which the color is the same, it looks the same type of water that you use for the person that's tummy, still it says, the sagile beruba, that the nullification of the mechatas is going to be enough with a simple majority. And we don't say that we view it as if it's red wine, as astringency. Because wait a second, let's make it as if it's, yeah, min bimino, you go based on majority. But didn't you say that Rabbi Yehuda holds, as we just established before, as the Tanavad Mishnah, that, wait a second, we're not going to go so easy on you for the halach of bitzel, just a symbol of majority, even though it's min b'minay. And min b'minay, you can't tell with colors and taste, that they're all the same, whatever the context is. You said, no, Rabbi Yehuda says, we view it as if it's a different min. So then it should be very stringent. If it was red wine, it wouldn't be enough with a simple majority. You would need a lot much more water. So what's going on? If this tan is Rabbi Yehuda, so why is it enough with a simple majority? So Amabai says, like Kasha, not difficult, as we continue to have Ayin Tesem and Aleph. He says, ha, the Mishnah Mesechtas Mikvayis that we've just brought down, that says that, you're right, when it's min b'mini, when it's the same type, that both water, mechatas and the mikvah waters, that it's enough for the majority, and we don't say this idea of roigin, we view it as if it's min b'shein b'mini, that's the day. That's Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion. Really, Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that when it's the same type, it's going to be batel b'raif. Ha, but the Bryce that we brought before that says that we view the white wine as if it's red wine, that was Rabbi Yehuda, but that was the Rabbi. That was Rabbi Yehuda, the name of his teacher, who is stringent in the laws of nullification, as we're going to shortly bring, just like he's stringent when it's the same type in something of its own type, and he says that it's actually not going to be nullified at all. So too, when it's different types, where although everyone agrees when it's different types, there is some form of nullification, and as we know that as long as the appearance of the smaller one is recognizable and the larger one is not going to be nullified. The Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda was stringent and he said that even when the colors are the same, for example, white wine and water, we're going to view it as if it was red wine and it's not going to be enough for a simple majority. Meaning the time, like we learned the Brisa, we're going to show that there is such a premise that Rabbi Yehuda's teacher is more stringent than the laws of majority. So we could say that when Rabbi Yehuda was saying in that previous Brisa, a very stringent halacha, that even though it's the same type, we're going to view it as if it's different types to require larger nullification. That was like his teacher. Because like learned in the Brisa, B'yuda Amim Shum Ribbing Malil. B'yuda said the name of a teacher, Ribbing Malil, that when it's the same type, so again, by Min B'mina we find he's stringent, so we could say another stringency, that not only that, that he's going to view it even when there is bitl, when it's a similar type, that we're going to say it's like a different type. Because we find the stringency one way in when it's the same type. He says, in dam vatal dam. Blood cannot nullify blood. Meaning, for example, let's say regarding the laws of Zrikas Adam, or regarding Kisur Hadam, where yeah, you're still going to be obligated in throwing the blood or covering the blood. There's no nullification when it's the same type. And also, Ein Roik, you cannot have pure spittle that be Mevatl Roik, that will nullify the spittle of a Zav. And even though you have tons and thousands of people spit somewhere, but a Zav spit where his spittle has Tumah, it's not bottle. It's going to still be Tummy, which is a huge stringency, Min B'minay. And so to Ein Meiraglayim, we don't say that the urine of pure people is Mevatl Meiraglayim, will nullify the urine of, let's say, a Zav, and it's still going to transmit Tumah, even though there is so much more people that were tar that urinated over there, regarding the tumas over there, it's still going to be tummy over there. Now, therefore, what we see is that since his Rebbe is stringent by Min B'minai, so we could say that he's also that opinion that says that even when it's, let's say, different types of things, because really white wine and water of the mikveh is different types of things, but they have the same color. Now, therefore, we say when there's no color, okay, so we cannot qualify based on appearance, even though the halacha should go based on that, then we'll go based on majority? No. Yehuda's Rebbe is more stringent. He says, we'll view it as if it's different colors, and it's only when it's going to be diminishing the color so much, even though here it's the same color, only then it's going to be batel. Therefore, that's like his Rebbe, but you're right, Yehuda himself, as we brought in the Mishnah Masechta Mikvayos, holds we go based on a simple majority. That's one interpretation. Rav Amar, he gives another resolution. He says, really, it's all the same Tana, meaning Yehuda holds like his Rebbe, which is that we say Ryan. So then we're back to the question, but didn't we say that he's a ton of Mishnah Maseftis Mikvayis, and yet it seems to be saying when the Mechatz is inside, which it's the same color, that we're going to say it's enough in the simple majority, and you're not going to say we view it as if it's red wine? Says Rava, because the case in the Mishnah Maseftis Mikvayis is Toma Bidli Shetoy Chaitar. Although this pitcher is Tame, the inside of the pitcher is actually pure, V'gabay tamei askinen. It's only the outside of the pitcher that's tamei. That's the case that we're talking about. Now, how is that possible? How is only the outside tamei, but the inside's tara? So, similar like the Gemara says in Masechta Nidah of Zayinim and Beis. And if let's say the outside of the vessel became tamei by liquids, which that's only rabbinic tuma, where the Gemara tells us that therefore the inside, the handles, the airs, the different parts of the vessel are still going to be tar. Now, Medina Sagiluhu, that so according to the basic halacha, it would be enough with the water of the mikvah coming to the inside of the vessel, b'chalduhu, even with a minute amount, meaning the tefillah of the pitcher would be sufficient if it just reached the lip, the lid, the top part of the vessel, because truth is, the inside of the vessel does not need immersion because it's not tame. Rabbanahu de Gazibhu, but rabbinically the rabbis decreed that you should have to do a valid immersion. Because if you're going to say that it's really enough, as the halacha really is, to just immerse the outside of the vessel, Dilmachayas alayu, maybe in this case, the Mishnah Masechta Mikvayis, the one who's immersing the vessel might be concerned to protect the mechatzis that's inside, because he doesn't want the mikvah water mixing in, because it's going to invalidate and ruin the mechatzis, which are very precious, the whole procedure to have this chatzis water to spray on the person that became tummy. V'loy maftalei, or the gear says, brought down this actually, v'loy matvalei, and then he's not going to sufficiently immerse the tip of the vessel into the water, because he's going to try to get away with it. No, I don't want it to go all the way. Because you get it in, and then all the mikvah water goes and ruin that. So you're going to try to get it, but you're not going to get all the way to the top. So therefore, the rabbis decreed, no, you got to do a sufficient tefillah that the water of the mikvah is going to come into the vessel and ruin the mechatas. Now, but if you did a regular tefillah, and you had even the majority of the contents in the inside, the mikvah water over the mechatas, so then, loitzach, then you don't need to go ahead and do anymore, because like we said, really immersing the inside is only a rabbinic stringency. Biblically, you don't even have to do that. And therefore, since it's only a stringency, that's why it was enough with the rife. So, in regards to regular halacha, yes, Rabbi Yehuda would say like his Rebbe, that we would technically view the mechatas as if it was red wine, and it wouldn't be enough with a regular majority. Here, the reason why they were lenient and said it's enough with the majority is because the whole thing is a stringency to begin with. Really, it doesn't even have to go inside at all. You can really have the whole thing full of mechatas. And as long as the water touches the top, you're good, because then you have the whole outside. But since if we let you just do to the top, you might not do it all the way, and then it might not really purify the dli. So rabbinically, we said it has to go in. But going in, okay, as long as you have a majority, for the rabbinic law, that's going to be enough, and therefore that's not a contradiction. In Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, we could say he holds like his Rebbe, like Rabbi Gamliel, like we quoted him, meaning regarding that stringency, is saying he's the Tana, the Braisa, that says, that we are very stringent in laws of Bittul. But regarding this halach of Mechatas, because it's a rabbinic law, that's why it's enough with a simple majority.